so I'm going to just start the welcome introductions. Taljoy, who's our last panel member, is going to be about a half hour late, but she is going to be able to join us. And so we'll just do quick introductions around the table and then get started. What I want to let everyone know is that this meeting is being recorded, and then the recording is going to be put on the website for anyone to be able to refer to as the minutes of the meeting. We will be doing about an hour review, and then we will just switch over to the next project. We have a 10 to 15 minute presentation about, and then we'll do discussion, and then the last 5 to 10 minutes, I'll summarize the discussion points and the recommendations, which will go into the staff report. We will send notes for the meeting within about 2 weeks, because I'll draft the notes and send them to the panel for their review, and then I'll send it along to the team and the lead reviewer and put it on the website as well. So, Rod, do you want to get started? Just a quick background on who you are. And
I'm Rod Hendrer, architect here in the Washington area. Work for CRTKL, Senior Vice President. I've done very little work in downtown Bethesda, but do have a major project in Montgomery County, the Food and Drug Administration. Done a lot of very large federal projects.
George Dove, Principal Emeritus, WDG Architecture. We've done a ton of projects in Montgomery County. Been on the other side most of the time. Architect, urban designer.
Carl.
I would agree.
Carl Dupuy, I'm a professor emeritus at the University of Maryland. I teach urban design and architecture. I'm a registered architect.
Damon Orbona with Nova Habitat, which is a local real estate development company. I have been a partner with Nova Habitat for a couple years now. Prior to that, I was a practicing land use attorney, and then even before that, I was a planner in this building, so I've got a lot of different experience in this area, and live and work in downtown Bethesda.
I'm Paul Mortensen. I'm senior urban designer in the director's office here at the planning department.
So I'm Andy Cretall. I'm with Zom. We're the developer working on the project. We're a national company. We have offices Texas, Florida, and D.C., and Raleigh, North Carolina, and I cover and manage the office here. This is Zom's first project in Montgomery County in Bethesda, but I've worked for other companies in the past that have developed in Montgomery County. We're excited about our project and look forward to getting through the process.
I'm Andy Chekowski. I'm architect designer with SKNI Architecture. This is actually my third project is on. I've been practicing with SKNI for a little over a year now, but I've been in the county in the DC area for over 17 years, practicing for over 20. I'm excited about this project. SKNI, obviously, we're a Bethesda-based design firm, and done a lot of residential mixed use in Bethesda proper and Montgomery County, and we're really excited about this. It's blocks from our office.
Trini Rodriguez from Parker Rodriguez. We're landscape architects. We've been doing a lot of work in Montgomery County over the years. I am personally a resident of Bethesda, so I care a lot and deeply about sort of the new downtown. So we're really excited about seeing this edge sort of completed. My kids went to the school across the street.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Heather Delpolsky. I'm a land use and zoning attorney with Linos and Blocker. Our office is in Bethesda, and I live right at Grosvenor, because when I moved there, I definitely could not afford to live in Bethesda, but obviously spend a lot of time there. And I guess we can just roll into our presentation. So we sort of, Andy is on the end, and I'm on the end, because I think obviously this is really a design discussion. So we have Andy Chekowski and Trini in the middle, and we'll really let them go into the presentation, and obviously we're here to answer any questions. But I think this is really their show. So we are excited to be here the first of the first day. So I think it's probably a little bit of all, learning experience for all of us, but we're excited to have a good conversation with you today. So I'll turn it over to Andy and Trini.
Sure. Well, welcome. Thank you for coming. Likewise. That's good, though. So we're really excited about this. I mean, I think everyone's familiar with the site. we're about two blocks west of the metro station along Arlington Road. You know, this is what's considered now per the Bethesda downtown plan, the residential and edge district called Arlington North. So it has its own sort of sets and guidelines within the downtown plan. You know, we are bound by the north on Moreland, to the west on Arlington, and to the south of Edgemoor. You know, we really see this site as both a bridge and sort of a connector to the residential neighborhoods to the west and, you know, the downtown. And this is really the sort of the western face of downtown Bethesda. So we really see it as this transitional site, but also sort of a, you know, we really want this to kind of fit in, but also be distinct and a handsome addition to the residential, you know, portfolio of Bethesda. Go to the next slide. Currently, the site is a series of 8 single-family houses. It fronts the 3 streets, like we said. Most of the houses currently are being used for commercial purposes, so it's not entirely, it's not, you know, traditional residential in that sense. And there's a series of, there's 8 existing curb cuts, which a lot of them face Arlington Road, and a lot of people have to back up onto Arlington, which is, you know, from a transportation point of view, is not a good thing. And then the rear of the site is pretty circuitous as it kind of wraps and goes up against the other existing apartments and condominiums. So it's an interesting site from that point of view. These are some of the new slides that I added that aren't in the presentation, but there's a streetscape across the top of the single family homes. You can see downtown Bethesda sort of, you know, cascading upwards in the background. On the bottom left is a view at Arlington Road in Moreland. That's across the street from the school entrance. The middle photo on the bottom is sort of the harsh kind of existing conditions of the sidewalk and streetscape. You're basically inches away from a car's, you know, side view mirror as it goes by. And then the right image is the intersection of Arlington and Edgemoor. Next slide. So this is the site plan of the building. Again, you can see how it's sort of thicker here on the northern part of the site. And what we've done is we've, you know, maintained the street edge, but then we've created these gentle, intimate courtyards along that to kind of, you know, change the density, change the character of the building. And then as it goes south, the site gets thinner. So what we've done is we've let that sort of, that thinness sort of express itself as a sort of an individual architectural identity, and it extends down towards Edgemoor. What we've done here is we've place the lobby, leasing center of the building on the north end, on Moreland, and then extend it towards the intersection, and then we've located the loading and the garage ramp. We work with Department of Transportation, kind of locate those things. That's sort of the best, most workable location. So that sort of sets up the garage ramping, et cetera, below. And then along the back, we've kind of held the building to kind of form the rear of the property along those lines. And we have a pedestrian path back there as well. As we go down, the garage is buried on the northern part of the building, of the site. There's about 7 feet of grade change from Moreland down to Edgemoor. So what happens is that the south end of the building sort of exposes itself, and we've let the residential kind of come down and greet the street, greet the sidewalk, and we're planning a series of residential stoops for the townhouses on that end. On the very south end, we have a small pedestrian lobby for commuters to the metro. They're 2 blocks from the metro at that end, and it's also the bike access, because one floor below that, we have bicycle storage. They come in, go down one floor, park their bike, and then the garage floor sort of fills out the you know, the G2 level. So we have 2 levels of garage at this point. As we go up, this is the typical floor plan. Again, you know, we want to hold, you know, the 3 main streets. As you can see, we have a series of an articulated front. This kind of is in concert with the design guidelines to have a highly articulated front. With the courtyards, you'll get nice shadow lines, nice shadow reads on the facade. And then again, just natural transition from the north building to the south building as we're saying it, as the building drops downhill and as it kind of gets narrower. We've changed sort of the cadence of the facade of the architecture and added these bays, and it goes and extends towards Edgemoor and turns the corner. One of the things that we've met with staff is that on the top floor, the sixth floor, because of that 7-foot grade change, the building presents itself as sort of 60 feet. Our height limitation is 60 feet on this property. So we're maintaining that at Moreland, and as we go south, we drop 7 feet. We've worked with staff to introduce this terrace setback. So we're essentially using sort of that 1-to-1 ratio from the right-of-way, and we're creating essentially a penthouse look for that southern half. And you'll see that as we go through the facades. On the roof, we're introducing a pool, community terraces. We have a small elevator lobby with the restrooms, changing rooms for access to the pool. And then we have sort of mechanical equipment zones with screening, you know, that we'll introduce. And then the rest will be vegetated roof. And Trini will talk to the rooftop design in a little bit. Again, I just want to reiterate sort of the natural sort of layout and geometry of the site and how that's informing the architecture. So it's not really a collage of buildings. We're really trying to set up as two distinct buildings that are joined together. And this kind of leads us into the design guidelines and the Downtown Bethesda Master Plan and how the design of the building and the form of the building is being kind of driven by the street typologies. So the Bethesda plan calls for Arlington Road as a neighborhood connector, and then Moreland and Edgemore lanes, both are called neighborhood local streets. And those set up a series of sort of design tools in the toolkit to inform the building design. So I'll just walk around the building quickly, as you've seen it in your package. What we've done here is we've set up, we see this as sort of a crafted contemporary building. We've looked at a lot of sort of contemporary residential apartment houses that have familiar materials as far as brick and metal panel. And we're using sort of the design guidelines to break up sort of these longer facades. So we see these as a series of, you know, five-story brick with sort of a metal panel crown along the sixth floor. And then we have metal panel sort of hyphens, if you will, that will break up sort of and create a rhythm of along the facade of this architecture. The north, this is the north, so you see the two-story lobby with the lobby extending towards Arlington Road. We see the loading dock, we see the garage to the ramp down below. Again, this is just sort of the diagram of the building, if you will, so sort of breaking up this longer facade into individual pieces. It's a 60-foot height, has a 50-foot base, which is informed by the design guidelines, and then it has a sort of a 10-foot, a one-story crown on the top. As we go down, we turn the corner. This was our original submission back in August for this building. We carry that language of architecture down Arlington about two-thirds of the way, interrupted by these series of courtyards. Here we introduce glass and metal bays, again, the hyphens, sort of the metal panel hyphens, and then with these inset balconies. And then on the top floor, we have these kind of carved in corners, which then create these, we're calling them the lanterns, a series of little pavilions that march down the street. Here's again the diagram of the facade, kind of breaking it up into smaller pieces, recognizable, tailored to the neighborhood, recognizable, but also sort of, you know, handsome and elegant is the goal in the 60-foot height. And you can sort of see the 7-foot, it's a gentle grade. When you're out there, you don't really perceive it, but it does slope, allowing us to have that 7th story on the south end, which then, after we met with staff, we came back and we introduced that penthouse level on the upper floor and set that back 1-to-1 from the right of way. This is the facade from sort of the park, Arlington, the Bethesda Elementary, across the street on Arlington Road. And you can see sort of the natural, again, that natural break in the building to have it look like two distinct buildings on Arlington Road, which also the master plan sort of diagrams that in the master plan of Bethesda. And you can see sort of the extra story being picked up, and then we recess that top floor. Again, here's the original submission from August, and then how we've modified that. So this building, the south building, is different from the north building in the sense that we have, you know, these sort of 40-foot bays and a setback and then a two-story top, if you will, and then a one-story setback with a recess for the penthouse look. This one has corner glass, and that architecture is, it's sort of the cadence of the bays marches down the street. It relates to the townhouses on the south side of Arlington Road, or of Edgemoor Lane. And then we turn the corner and present sort of a narrow, elegant face on the south. I think it'll be pretty distinguished as you walk up from Bethesda Row to points north. This will be a handsome, elegant sort of edifice as you walk up that sidewalk. Again, remembering those sort of the streetscapes of the single-family houses that are there, kind of the rough, harsh, will have a nice, elegant tree pit, standard kind of walkable, great pedestrian streetscapes with a tree pit, sidewalk, and then a garden edge along the building. And on this end, we do introduce a series of townhouse stoops as they march down. And then at the southern end, this will be a one-story residential lobby, again, for the bicycle and the commuters. We also did this. This is back on Moreland Lane. Our adjacent neighbor to the east is the Christopher Condominiums. We have there's some property easements that cross this. They have a circular drop-off loop, and their front door is off this drop-off. So we share that. We wanted to present a very handsome, elegant face to them, so we bring that architecture around. And it turns the corner and goes back into the garden next to the pool. So this is a view from their front door. Again, I said we really wanted to have a tailored, contemporary but also familiar sort of architectural reading, and these are some of the precedents. These aren't in the handout that you have, but this is supplemental. But we've been looking at sort of domestic architecture in London and in Soho, and some of the work here. Familiar themes, you know, balconies, bays, how we can hang bays off the building, how we can have inset balconies, how we can have corner glass. All this sort of like domestic architecture. So we really wanted this to be a tailored, kind of feel like a nice kind of well-worn glove that fits right into the neighborhood and sets it apart. So it would be distinct, but also familiar. Again, the last couple of slides are just sections. You can see the sort of the 1.5 stories of garage, this gentle slope down Arlington Road, the residential piece that exposes itself on the south end, and then some of the setback and terracing that we're doing to accommodate and sort of, again, tailor the building to the site and to the Bethesda design guidelines. This is the cross-section east-west. You can see sort of this is through the courtyards. We'll have courtyards above our garage. On the back, we do have some zone for stormwater management along with our green roofs on the roof. At the end of the day, when all said and done, The Christopher has a outdoor pool, and it'll actually feel like it's in a nice room. It has very nice proportions, 6 stories on the south end. They'll still get plenty of light and air in there, and that'll feel like a very elegant room for that pool. And we have a little walkway that walks along adjacent to that. And then this is another section, again, showing the south end of the building, again, where we're setting it back in the terrace for that 6th floor. And then I'll let Trini.
So I know Andy has talked a little bit about the streetscapes. I'll be very brief. So what's interesting about the streetscape is, it's very long and continuous. But while, it seems that it is homogeneous, it actually has quite a bit of variety. We have at the southern end, actually because of the way the building lays out, we have a lot of units fronting. And you can access those units off the street, so activating the streetscape. Both along Arlington and in the rear, where we have these sort of pedestrian sort of cross through. Initially had been intended to be more of a mid-block connector, but with discussions with staff, I think it was deemed that maybe that wasn't an ideal location, so it's become a little bit more private in nature, but it's still providing access to these units off that level. The metro is just right up here, so people will definitely be using that. Just as Andy mentioned, along Arlington, especially what we've done is we've created a continuous planting strip. It's actually wide, 6 feet, as opposed to the rest of the Arlington streetscape, which is either the sidewalk right immediately adjacent to the carway or very narrow planting strips and tree pits. So we're trying to provide a lusher green edge along that, the continuous brick sidewalk, and then that sort of more green frontage into the building.
It's a 6-foot landscape strip along Arlington.
Along Arlington.
And then how wide is it?
6-foot sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And then on the northern part of Arlington, we created these sort of city nodes. Actually, it's kind of a precedent. They have them along Arlington, sort of further south, so we sort of created a couple of those. Those are located at the edge of these sort of courtyards that Andy talked about. Those will be planted, so it'll be pretty lush and green. And then as you turn the corner, the sidewalk you see, you can continue that sidewalk to the main lobby. We're extending the streetscape along both the loading and the garage entrance and wrapping that streetscape around. Currently, that's not the streetscape that meets the Bethesda standard. It's just a sidewalk. So we're trying to make this drop-off and this entrance to this neighboring building be part of the streetscape, an extension of the streetscape. So as you can see here, this is a collage of sort of the rooftop as well as the streetscape. The rear of the building has an amenity area, and we have a courtyard that actually has access out to the street through this sort of pedestrian system. Here you can see some present images on the top. That's sort of what happens at the southern end of Arlington Road. So you can see there's that present of sort of the city nooks, and actually people use them. To my surprise, people use them quite a bit. So we've provided some, but a lot more generous and a lot greener, lusher. And those city nooks, we actually have a trellis element, so they really have a, you know, create a place for them. You can see here that's that. These are precedent images for that. Then the planting, the idea of the plant is getting some seasonality to it. You can see the two lobbies of the building at the two ends. And then at the rooftop, this is, as you can see, the terrace, the rooftop terrace that Andy explained. We have the pool, which is actually slightly elevated. Then we have mechanical elements, and it's also provided quite a bit of green. Actually, a lot of it is, you know, with deeper soil that allows us to plant and provide some screening from neighboring apartments, sort of the mechanical view, and sort of soften those edges. We have terraces for amenities that they're basically looking to the west over into the green and into the play areas of the school. As you can see here, these are the terraces that Andy created with the setbacks. And then on top of that, we have an extensive green roof. I mean, a lot of green roof on the top, both extensive and intensive. These are sort of precedent images of how we see both the courtyards and the rooftop. These are the treatments that we're envisioning for them. I think with that,
before we begin, I actually wanted to share Chow Joy's comments in case she isn't able to make it here in time. First, she mentioned that the elevation along Arlington Road lacks variation. It looks a bit monotonous. The second was the design of the project seems rational, but it also lacks a strong public benefit incentive. And the last would be, would a lobby on Arlington Road be more appropriate since it's a major road? It will help to activate the streetscape on Arlington. So those were her three comments, and another panel member, others to address similar.
So is that something, do we respond to the comments now?
Or if other panel members want to bring up issues to tie into any of those comments?
I think we probably should start our discussion and can address those later.
Mm-hmm.
Couple questions. Heather, this is a sketch plan application, correct?
Yes.
Not
mm-hmm.
a site plan.
No, we are just at sketch plan, and after we go to the planning board hearing, which is scheduled for, I think, 3 weeks from tomorrow, we would look to file the preliminary plan of subdivision and site plan concurrently for
okay.
that.
And how many points are you requesting for design
right
excellence?
Now we are, that's a good question, we are for, just for the design points,
yeah.
You mean? Yeah.
Could,
a second.
That's all that we're
yep.
reviewing.
Currently. Yeah, I just need to, let's see. Right, so right now we are requesting 10 points in the exceptional design category.
That's 10 out of 30, so.
Yeah, and I think just to give a little bit of background on that, you know, with the Bethesda sector plan and then the Bethesda overlay zone that the county council approved, so they changed the number of exceptional design points based on what the zoning ordinance and the CR zone incentive density guidelines provide for now. And so I think in the incentive density guidelines, they provide guidelines for how you get to 10 points, but the county council changed the maximum points to 20 points, 30. To 30 points. But there's no implementation guidelines saying what you need to do to get to the 30. So frankly, given that, you know, we're putting the cart a little bit before the horse here, we're asking for the 10 because there's just really no there's no direction as to what 30 points means at this time. Mm-hmm. So
Laura, to clarify this, they're not coming back for site plan, are they, to this group?
They should.
I think we.
They will be.
I think
okay.
We have to,
got
right?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's right. Good. That's helpful. So I'll start us off. So I think it's a perfect project for us to kind of kick off our conversations about this. So I'm pretty familiar with this site. I actually looked at this site or a portion of this site for our townhouse project a couple years ago. I think multifamily at this location with the assemblage makes a lot more sense, more efficient use of the property for sure. I understand all the constraints with the height, the massing and whatnot. It's as you guys know, it's a very notable location along Arlington Road. You're at the terminus of a, you know, beautiful Edgemore Lane, stately residential street, and then, you know, across from Bethesda Library, Bethesda Elementary School. So there's a lot of eyes on this project, right? My impression of the overview, I think it checks a lot of boxes as far as, you know, urban design, or, I'm sorry, you know, urban planning, streetscape, and improvement over what's there today. I think it's a very sound, efficient design based on the constraints of height and massing and whatnot. But I think my question is it excellent design? I think it's, you know, sound design, efficient design, maybe even above average. But is it excellent design? And does it qualify? Are there things that you could do within the constraints of height, massing and whatnot, so you're not losing density, but you could still maybe, you know, I'll kick it off to my architecture compatriots on the panel, things from materials perhaps that you could do to make this, you know, skew this further towards an excellent design as opposed to a sound design, even an above average design. So those are my initial comments.
Can I talk a little bit about process? You have a passageway that could come across your site from you know, and be perpendicular, if you will, to Arlington Road. And did you explore that connection? Because that would then make this large block much smaller because you'd have a through block connection, et cetera. And then that would help make the two buildings more distinct of each other. Not to mean that you couldn't connect the buildings at the upper levels, et cetera, and have a passageway, et cetera. And that would then activate Arlington Road from a, you wouldn't have to go all the way around your entire site in order to either go to Edgemore or to you know, the northern site. Did you look at that?
I mean, we did briefly. And it, I mean, it does complicate the internal workings and operations of the building pretty significantly. And then I guess from our conversations with staff, we really tried to argue that we have a true through block connection sort of behind the building from north to south.
Right, but not
but the argument was that not, it was not going to get much, might get a, you get local traffic, maybe some dog walkers, but it wasn't going to be significant enough of traffic to do that as considered a through block. So I think using that same logic, it would sort of...
it's a little bit inefficient too, because it doesn't, what would you connect to? So if you're going from mid block or two thirds of the way down, have this perpendicular connection to Arlington Road, what are you connecting to in our view?
Because there are other developments.
There are other
developments. You see the site plan,
right.
Of this with the... Yeah,
yeah, it's just there's,
right there.
There's no other path that gets us from Arlington on to the block to the street to the east.
Yeah. I go back to the this
there,
one.
That one right.
Yeah.
There's no connection.
There's currently, I mean, there's a little trellis and it
right.
comes out through the parking lot.
Right, but
that's been
I'm not talking about at present, I'm talking about in the future, between the two taller buildings to the, I guess, to the north.
Is there a walkway there at all?
No, no. It's actually, I walked it before this meeting because I wanted to see how, just exactly for
exactly.
this reason.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. So there is some grade issues mm-hmm. in there at three different levels. So it's not, and right now there are actually apartment units that are have embraced those spaces, so they're private. The Christopher is like over here, the
Edgemont,
thank you. It's like here, and then the Zahn property is even further down, so there's three different levels.
I'm asking the question primarily from the size of this gigantic super block, breaking it up
mm-hmm.
in an east-west, north-south way, which then at that intersection of those two pathways, there could be a place, because right now there's no place on near site. And not that it's required, but it's always nice to have a place. And of course, if you came out between the two buildings, you know, under, you could come through the building, you know, on one floor, you would then have a natural place of gathering on Arlington Road for entrances into the two buildings, et cetera.
We did actually, and I think Trini discussed this a little bit in her presentation. You know, you did see where we have that pedestrian mm-hmm. connection between Edgemoor and Moreland, and kind of in an earlier iteration, we had proposed that as public use space and for public benefit points for mid-block pedestrian mm-hmm. connection. But I think the concerns that we heard from park and planning staff was they didn't feel that it was public enough. And
right.
would not be used. There is a walkway system there in place now, and actually residents of the Christopher, and I'm assuming probably the Edgemont too, use it to walk their dogs and whatnot. So we had been actually trying to create
right.
a place, but when we got that pushback, we essentially took the public use space off of our site and at this point are planning to do an off-site public use space rather than on-site.
Are we aware of that, of where that would be?
That's been part of the discussion.
Right.
I see.
Yeah. We will be.
But we're not evaluating that then.
We'll be locking into the off-site public use space as part of our site plan process, and we're working with Park and Planning and the Parks Department on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I assume this is, you went concrete instead of wood?
Yes, sir.
Good on you.
Yeah.
That's allowing you to do a lot of what you're doing,
right.
which I think is very good about
exactly.
the project. So.
Yeah, we would have lost a floor, and we wouldn't have had the rooftop deck be as significant as that.
The roof development would be significantly
right.
different.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's a very positive thing for the project in the neighborhood, I think. And it's not cheap. So.
No, it's not.
I think... as we've said, this is a long building,
yeah.
and that is always a challenge when you're trying to deal in an urban environment that's supposed to be pedestrian friendly. And I think the thing that's working for you very well are your two recessed courtyards. Are they public, by the way?
No, not right now.
I didn't think they would be. Okay.
Yeah, it's.
Are they accessible by the residents of the building? The courtyard spaces are
view. More private in nature. I mean, they're going to be a green relief, and that's why I put the seating areas right next to it.
Mm.
They're actually just a little bit elevated. It's about 2 feet, and the other one's a little more.
Because the garage
so
tucks underneath them.
Right.
That's
so they're very visually accessible, you know, but they're really not physically accessible. So.
But they benefit you because they give you more perimeter.
Sure, exactly.
You need perimeter
mm-hmm.
because you need light and air into your apartments, et cetera.
Right.
So I guess that's the question, is what are their roles for in the public, you know, view?
Visual amenities.
It's a visual amenity, right,
yeah.
in this case.
And it
yeah.
breaks up the building.
And it breaks up the building.
Well,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. We're
not getting any, you know, credit for any open space. I mean, we're doing that offside. So.
Yeah, the idea is that those two courtyards sort of create three pavilions as you go down
yeah.
Arlington.
Yeah.
So that's the visual. And it is the same language, but it creates that rhythm and the visual breaks with those two.
Yeah,
those
I think that works
systems.
Better than the other
yeah.
part of the
We
building.
Did not want to put a solid
yeah.
wall on Arlington, the entire length of the block.
But those three pavilions, I think, are handsome, whereas the end elevation is not as strong.
I mean, I think the three pavilions have turned out very well. I mean, I think you've improved them since the beginning, and I think... One thing that's making them as nice as they are, not only of the setbacks and the eroded balconies, but the amount of glass that you've been able to put in there has really lightened the building up substantially in those three pavilion areas. And I think your idea of eyries or towers at the top of each one are working very well. I think your use of, I assume, brick masonry?
Yes, yes.
Against metal panels is good. I mean, I think it is really giving the hierarchy that we need in terms of the 50-foot plinth and then the top reading well. Right now, the building appears a little dark in terms of materiality that you're using. It's hard to tell from your rendering. When you're dealing with metal panels, you might consider, in my humble opinion, a little bit lighter metal panel to make the building a little bit less top heavy. Right now, it's a little harder than the masonry. But again, this is premature. It's only sketch plan.
That's good. Thank you.
I think that the fact that without making these really two separate buildings, I mean, they are related, in my opinion, from a materiality standpoint. I think that's good. I think the three pavilions that we talked about are going to be the dominant experience along Arlington Road, and I think that the setback at the top, as staff has wisely suggested you to do, certainly minimizes that extra height at the south end of the project. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the south end of the project, south facade, I think probably is not quite as sophisticated as the northern facade, but I'm not sure that that's a negative yet. I'm trying to find something negative, and I haven't found anything. I think the way it turns the corner, I think where the lobby is, actually does make sense in terms of the nature of the street that it's on and how it's connecting back to the existing project. So I don't want to contradict our compatriot, but
if I could address that, if it's appropriate to do so, what we thought about was we wanted to have the lobby on Moreland because of the drop-off and pickup things that would happen naturally if somebody's calling a cab or an Uber or Lyft.
Exactly.
They're pulling up and they can't. Arlington's terrible for that.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And we also were counseled to move in that direction from the Department of Transportation. Mm-hmm. So that
I think
was,
not even counseled, but basically told there will be no vehicular access points.
Yeah,
on
and
Arlington.
Make it as far away from the corner as you can make it. So that's the reason for it. I know she's not here to hear that, but that's kind of how we ended up there.
And also, if you're going to go to Metro, I mean, getting the lobbies closer to Metro is a rational thing to do. What's missing here, obviously, is any retail. I don't think it's required. This is one of those streets that probably would not
really
have.
Yeah, and actually, in the sector plan discussions, I think staff and the board and the county council were very clear that this is not a location for retail, and we agreed.
It's nice that they're recognizing that all streets are not retail streets.
Yeah.
You've been through this before, haven't you? the thing that I think this is really heading in a very strong direction from an architectural standpoint. I mean, you can compare this to many of our compatriots who are doing stick-built projects that have a structural issue on the brick and how high the materials can go. I think you've really, this allows you to make this really elegant in terms of the way the double height, double scale that you're using, I think is working very well. And I think the top story being a cap is something that's very logical. Not only is anticipated under the guidelines, but it's actually working for you from an architectural standpoint. That's probably enough to start us.
So I'm relieved to hear a couple things that didn't come out in the advanced materials. Number one is materials actually for the building. When I was looking at it, I was wondering, well, what are these exterior materials? Is it stucco? Is it precast? And I'm glad to hear that it's neither of those materials. I guess what I wonder about, though, and I do agree with a comment that this is a good design, but it's not an exceptional design, but it is a good design. I wonder about the materials, and I try and draw a similarity with projects in the area. It again reminds me of the residential building on Western Avenue in Friendship Heights. You had a photograph of it right off of Wisconsin Avenue.
Yeah. It's their building, yeah.
Yeah, it is one
of our. Oh, is it one of your buildings? Okay, so it looked like a similar hand, shall I say.
Yeah,
it's a good building. I wonder about, the fact that the Long Arlington elevation is a western orientation and all of a sudden you're going to get on that. It is due west, isn't it? And because of that?
It's more angle, yeah.
Yeah, okay, but it's still, you're still going to get all that western sun on it. I'd wonder about the, to be honest with you, about the metal panels. I wonder about the precedent you have up there on the lower, in the, on the lower level, on the lower side, the second from the left. Looks like a really kind of a dark brick instead. Could you, in fact, change that metal panel out for a dark brick, take the money you're saving with that to put some kind of solar screening devices on all that western glass that you have, as an example? That's one point. I'm also really glad to hear that some of these units do have direct access to the street. I think that's a really positive positive thing. Is this a condominium project or is it a rental? It is a rental.
All market rate other than the 15% MPDs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I also wondered.
This may exit as a condo, but we as a matter of course, enter all of our projects as rentals.
Yeah.
I doubt it'll exit as a condo, but that is a minor possibility.
Yeah. I also wondered about the through connection through the middle of the block. I do recognize that where is that pathway taking you, and is it just a through connection to do a through connection? It's too bad between those two buildings to the east that it isn't a public pathway. Then it would be very convincing to make that a through connection. It would help the massing. And I also don't disagree with the southern end seeing a little kind of a bit of the tail on the dog instead of really kind of being more consistent in terms of the development. I think the comments that, the responses that you have done and completed from your August submission to parts of planning to now, I think are a significant improvement. Again, it is a good design. It's not at that exceptional category, but it is a good design. I think people will be proud to live there. I think it'll be a good contribution for Bethesda.
Is there any way to bring light and air into the very long hallways on your residential floors? You're wandering around, you know, through very long corridors, making turns, and then going down longer corridors, etc.
The one good thing is that Zom generally uses a very talented interior designer, so they use a lot of, you know, internal devices that make that break up those long corridors. And they create nodes at the intersections that are become spaces and with art on the walls. So they are, this isn't as bad as some, as long as some.
And there's a lot of the building takes care of a lot of things.
Yeah, the building does.
Well, that's where, you know, you could probably introduce some light. You know, you could get some light into that knuckle there.
But if you could have some units.
Yeah, no, well, the point is that you're already digging into the building to get more light and air so you can get more units on the western side over here because you're getting these units and like that. But here, it just seems very, very long, and the halls are very, very long. I mean, that's the only way I can say it.
It's a long building.
If you had two buildings, you could solve that problem very easily. You give up too much density?
I think really? I'm not an architect, but I'm assuming the inefficiencies of having two buildings and two elevator cores and all of that.
Yeah, introducing more stairs. I mean, it's sort of, there's
a challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge economically.
Yeah.
So, and losing density. You know.
But as Andy said, we tend to use lots of interior design tricks. So we pull the doors will be inset away from the corridors, right? It gives you some rhythm as you go down. I can appreciate the point. It's a long building. It's got the corridors are long, and fortunately, we've got some spots where
you get very close. If you just, for instance, the fire stair that's sort of halfway down or two thirds of the way down, if you flipped it, you could bring in some light at least from one side, etc.
Sure.
Yeah. Right in that one area. But are the units that enter off Arlington and off the back, are they two-story units then? Are they one-story?
You know, we're still thinking about that. Mm-hmm. So the units that are on the ground floor there at the south end, we're thinking about doing those as two-stories because
right.
you've got, because yeah. people, you know, they want their living space maybe to be on the first floor and then their sleeping space to be on that second floor. And then when we introduced that penthouse setback, we were thinking maybe we do the two stories
up there.
Two stories up there, where you have the living and then the sleeping on the second floor might be pretty, or reverse. Might be really interesting. So we haven't decided. We started off having two story units on the first floor. We did a project in Arlington near Courthouse Metro where we did those two story, and they were live work. Mm-hmm. They had this big two story space when you came in, and they're really beautiful. And we thought that people that we have a lot of pet owners that live in our buildings, and we thought that'd be a great unit for a dog owner, because then they can just pop right out, right, walk the dog, come back in. So it's evolving. And maybe we do both, top and bottom, being two stories.
Yeah, particularly the units that you have towards the southern side on Arlington Road, where you have the walk-in. To make those two-story, I think, would actually even help the kind of the its way it relates to the street and its response really to the street, and probably create some kind of the development that we see on the other project.
So we'll absolutely, you talk about the southern end on Arlington,
yes,
Road?
Yeah.
We'll have walk-in units for there for sure.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you made those two-story high units, then the response to the street would be even stronger.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at that south corner. You know, I didn't mention it, but I really like the corner glazing that's turning the corner rather than being framed by masonry. I think that's the only place it occurs, unfortunately.
Yes.
This is the corner right here.
Right.
And I think that Edgemoor Arlington corner could be very nice, as you mentioned, looking north along Arlington. I think that's going to be very, very effective. I didn't have this in front of me, but I think the way you're reaching the sky there at that point without an overhang, it's where the vertical components coming up and then just a smaller overhang before your setback, is actually, it differentiates the two buildings more than I give you credit for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's good. I mean, one thing that, you always think about, if you're talking about two-story units at the base, one of the things you might want to think about is articulating that a little bit more in the architecture. But you've got to decide what you're going
for. You've got four stories in the initial.
Yeah, we dropped it. So when we transitioned from sort of the original design, we had a five and two.
Yeah,
then we dropped it to sort of a 4-2-1.
Depends on what your function is.
So do you have a detail where the two buildings, in a sense, come together?
Yeah, I have.
With a larger.
Yeah.
Drawing?
So that's not yet, but we've considered it, and it's in there. We do have like a return.
Right.
So they don't just kind of butt into each other. There's a break in the building, and the building essentially. We have these projected bays, and then there's a sort of the wall behind it, and that slot comes in and runs into the side of one of the pavilions. So it's not like flush with the pavilion; it's actually set back.
How far are the bays? About 3 feet.
They're about 5 feet, 5-6 feet.
5 feet.
Yeah, so there'll be some pretty nice shadow lines along that.
Yeah, so that's going to make the transition between this tower and here.
This is
what we're looking for.
Yeah.
I think it's going to work.
Yeah, right. Some of the moves are pretty substantial. They're not,
because I like the southern building, and I'm just worried about how the two match and what is that?
we intend it to be a sort of a natural break that you would see between sort of infill buildings in a natural way, and not sort of an awkward moment.
And at site plan, we would, because we'll actually have to have elevations in addition to the updated renderings at site plan, so it, I think we'll make sure that we are much more clear in terms of how those meet when we come in for our next iteration.
Now, for a sketch plan, this is pretty well developed.
Yeah.
So does the panel agree or going in the direction that this would qualify for the points for exceptional design?
They're only asking for 10 out of 30. That's not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I think my comments, after hearing the discussion, kind of remain the same. I think I'm kind of in agreement with Rod at the end. Very good, efficient design. Is it exceptional that creates a sense of place that serves as a landmark? Right? Is this a landmark for Arlington Road? Is it Does it enhance the
now?
Public
yes.
realm? I completely agree with you there, Trina. I mean, it's definitely a huge improvement over what's there today.
I think that was the intention.
Huge improvement.
You know, we really intended this to be. It's not a hero building. It's a transition.
60 feet tall for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I agree. You have constraints there.
We wanted to be.
Sometimes it's really nice because it really sort of gets, you know, it's a more cohesive approach to that front edge. I mean, instead of being a beacon and a sort of a outstanding sort of element by itself, it kind of stitches the whole thing and it terminates it in, I think, in a nice sort of gesture at that northern end of Arlington. I mean, that is a really important street in our fabric.
Right.
I think
if you want to talk about exceptional design, I think it goes back to the discussion or the point you just made about the concrete. You know, and what use of concrete does to this building.
Absolutely.
Rather than a typical stick building, because typically that height is a stick building.
Oh, yeah.
And the elevations are a lot less. And so I think in those terms, I think there is a quality of exceptionalism, you know, as far as just the upgrade of mm-hmm. materials and the articulation.
And I guess the other thing, too, is at Sketch Plan, staff can elaborate, but we are locking into the point categories that we're going for. So there's, you know, any number of public benefit point categories. So at Sketch Plan, we identify the given categories, but the actual number of points is still, I guess I would say, conceptual at Sketch Plan, and the specific number is locked into at Site Plan. So I guess it would be my view that the panel doesn't necessarily need to decide if we get 10 points today or 12 points or 8 points,
yeah.
but just that we get some points with the details.
I just
want to
make sure you guys have the direction going.
Yeah,
forward.
No, that's, and we appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You've had a lot of discussions with DOT. Are they going to make you put a bike share station on here or not?
We are still talking with them. Bike share is evolving so much because now we don't even have, you know, docking stations.
Yeah,
it's just park your bike
over.
Wherever.
Right.
So I think that's probably evolving, and we are hopeful that the answer will be no, or I know there's obviously a project coming in right next to us, so maybe something in conjunction with them.
Because I think
if that
is going to be required, I think that's something we definitely want to see. Because
we've been having
a lot of room.
I think we've had 2 meetings with DOT already, and I'm sure we'll have more. And that was all in advance of preliminary plan, just because there's so much happening on this site. We thought it was really important to get with them early. So I think, who knows, we'll be riding bikes in the sky by the time we get to site plan, maybe.
And just to elaborate on the, for the applicant as well as the panel, we are currently working on the implementation guidelines, and we will have direction for the applicant team in terms of the new amount of points being 30 that's recognized in the BOS. And then how you can get to 30, the breakdown that you will have to do from the CR implementation guidelines. So we'll send an email out to give you guys direction, just some direction on how to meet more points. But and then for the panel, just so you know, in terms of the BOS, because they're asking for BOS density, that they would be required to at least, the board would have to at least approve 10 as a minimum.
Your setbacks all the way around your building, are those established because of height and setback rules or because of access for fire?
We are essentially we're dedicating quite a bit of the edge of the property to the county. So the setback, some of it is we're going up to the new right of way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going up to that with several of the faces. Sometimes it's the bay, sometimes it's the wall, but. And then the natural, sort of the architecture of the building kind of steps away from that.
I'm thinking more about the back of the building, if you will.
Oh, the back of the building,
right.
Yeah. The back of the building, so I can talk to that briefly.
Right.
We are essentially on the, scroll to it here. I think the worst case scenario is that corner, but it's just that corner against the Christopher. We're like 25
mm-hmm.
feet away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tapers away. Both of us kind of go at a different angle. So
right.
we're clear from fire separation distance, and we
right.
generally hold back 15 feet. From the property line at the tightest condition so that we don't violate and their property setback as well. So
correct.
Between their buffer and our buffer, we have sort of a 30 plus feet, if not more, in most locations.
Is there any way that you can coordinate with the existing property that you are abutting in terms of using that outdoor space in a more creative way? Because right now you just have essentially a sidewalk.
We are
wraps around your building,
a lot of discussions with that property
right.
on any number of topics. So
we're
talking to
we
to
two.
The developer of this property, the Edgemont, because they're trying to renovate this amenity terrace, and now it makes sense for it to be more coordinated.
Right,
so
because
we've already met with them.
Right now, I mean, those are real opportunity areas for, you know, development of nice places to be, you know, coordinated tree planting, coordinated, you know, sidewalks, et cetera. Because there is an awful lot of open space that is, in a sense, non-used on their property. So in a sense, you get benefit because they don't get benefit, particularly, you know, below the swimming pool, et cetera.
You're absolutely right. Actually, this particular developer is even thinking of now there is a privacy wall.
Right.
That was sort of creating, even in the eyes to the staff, sort of a, kind of a too tall of a condition. The new developer is thinking of actually, now that it's not a, you know, parking
right.
lot, it's, you know, they're saying, you know, well, it doesn't make sense to have that privacy barrier. Why don't we make it lower and make it all more open so we all borrow from each other's open space?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. I think this is a good time for us to start to summarize what we've discussed today, and I'll just try to give a summary of the direction that I've heard. Generally, folks seem to think that this is a good, solid direction. May not be exceptional, and there are a few areas where there could be improvement. The first, if the building, the long building, is not broken up into two separate buildings, that attention could really be paid to the transition between the north and the southern end of the building, potentially turning the fire stair, some other opportunity to bring in light between the north and the south building. Also, in terms of materiality, consider changing to a brick and then maybe adding adding solar panels because sunscreening because it's west facing. Also, the upper floors may consider a lighter metal rather than the dark metal. We want to also coordinate with the abutting properties and make sure that the outdoor spaces could be better configured with the abutting property. And that generally, in terms of exceptional design points, the project seems to be moving in the right direction to get the 10 points. Are there other areas that I've missed or misspoken on?
Well, just one difference of opinion. I actually like the dark top. Somebody likes the lighter top, but I like the dark top.
No,
I question whether you should do that in metal panel or not.
Metal panels work very well in this kind of project.
Pardon?
Metal panels work very well in this kind of project, but
okay. Mm-hmm. In the eye of the beholder.
even so, I mean the probably look at the western elevation for some type of maybe the sunscreen or something.
You know, my concern is it's not only the heat issue, it's really the issue that when people have these great, these facades of glass facing west, they just close their blinds all the time. Mm-hmm. And so the relationship between the residential unit and the street gets blocked by drapes, blinds, shutters, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's the south side of my house. I have blinds down all the time. I never open them.
Just as a design, projecting sunscreen doesn't do much for you on the west side, so the south side it works. But by the time the sun gets around on the west side,
there's
precious little you can do on the west.
But there are other clever ways.
You know, a brise-a-lay or something like that. But I don't
know. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
All.
Yeah, thank you.